You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bill Barnwell, Frank Isola, Marcel Louis-Jacques, David Dennis Jr. You guys feeling the draft? Let's go! 27 hours away. Any waver? Any shake in the finger on the button for the Bears and the Commanders and the Patriots? Any pause in selecting Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Drake May? And the no doubt number one most impactful player in the draft. Let's go!
I've been thinking about the draft since January. Every day.
We'll get to that in a second, but a headline today and a time machine to 2005. The Heisman Trust giving the trophy they already gave to Reggie Bush, but then took back in 2010 when the NCAA made a ruling of impermissible benefits to Bush. They're taking it and giving it back to Reggie Bush in the year 2024. So Reggie Bush, there's the photo today of him getting the Heisman back in his hands. What it means around the horns of David Dennis Jr.
First of all, I think you can tell us what it means. It's never a good move when a decision comes down and about damn time is trending on Twitter. That should tell you what a lot of people feel about the decision that came down to finally do this. This means a whole heck of a lot more for the Heisman Trust and the NCAA than it does for Reggie Bush. We already know Reggie Bush is one of the greatest college players of all time. He already won that Heisman that he deserved. This is the NCAA and the Heisman Trust being able to roll him out for pictures like we just saw, for all the NCAA events and all that, to say that, hey, we've made right for something we did wrong, but it was wrong from the beginning. And those of us who were there who remember this will always remember what kind of travesty and unnecessary move all of this was that led us to this point.
Marcel Louis-Jacques?
Well, to borrow a line from Twitter, it's about damn time. They shouldn't have taken it to begin with. Nothing that he was in trouble for had anything to do with his performance on the field. He didn't cheat. He wasn't taking drugs. He didn't get arrested. He got a house for his family. He circumnavigated an already outdated and archaic NCAA rule. So, yeah, it's great that they're finally doing the right thing. It's hard to give them too much credit for finally righting their wrong, but I am glad that he's getting his trophy back.
I'm sensing a shake in the head, though, here for Isola when you heard Marcel say he didn't cheat or that the NCAA didn't find many impermissible benefits with the whole program to the point where USC had years worth to recover from. Frank, yeah. Isola, please.
Yeah, exactly. The rule was broken, but I think there's much different when you're talking about academic fraud as opposed to some crazy booster wants to give a kid a lot of money. As long as the income is reported, who really cares? And I'll tell you something right now, Tony. You think Louisville and Rick Pitino are waiting online? Chris Webber in the Fab Five? How about Jim Boeheim? 101 wins were vacated. If I'm them, I'm waiting in line looking at the NCAA. What about us? If you're going to make this precedent with Reggie Bush, which he deserves the Heisman, and he was an absolute brilliant player, but I think everyone else has a case to be made, too. Mm.
And Bill Barnwell?
This has never made sense. It never made sense at the time. Has looked stupider with each passing year over the last 15 years. 40 years from now, it's going to seem quaint. Future generations are going to look back at us and wonder how stupid we were for doing this in the first place. That Texas-USC game is the best college football game I have ever seen. This was hanging over that game for years and its legacy. That is no longer the case after.
Okay, but is there some revisionist history in play here? I mean, understanding everybody's minds change when name, image, and likeness became something that was allowed. But 20 years ago, Frank Isola, you felt differently about this. I know you did.
No, honestly, I didn't, Tony. I think the most people really don't care about the money part of it and gifts that people are getting. You want to say it's unethical, immoral, but I think academic, you know, cheating and things like that.
I hear you. I agree with you in that point.
Somebody getting money.
I just must have been listening to a different panel the last 20 years of this show where they were telling me there are rules, you can't break rules, this is wrong. How about some credit for Johnny Manziel, by the way? Because, hey, this conversation 4 months ago when he said, yeah, I'm not going to show up to these, it moved the conversation forward.
No, nobody wants to give credit to Johnny Manziel? Okay.
And Reggie Bush was talking about it. Reggie Bush was talking about it 3 years ago when NIL blew up. He was the first one to say, all right, how about looking back into me getting my trophy? And guess what? He got it.
News of the day. Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. We'll move on. Let's talk draft. 27 hours away, we know the top three picks belong to the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots. We know the top six quarterbacks in the draft room are Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May in some order, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. What I want today is fit, because fit is everything. Optimal environment to max out is everything. Bill, look at that fit today on you. Which QB team fit can make the biggest impact in the draft?
Going with the Patriots, and I am going with Drake May with the third overall pick in the draft. People are sleeping on how close the Patriots actually are. Second half of last season, they don't have their two best defensive players. They have the worst average starting position of any team in football because their quarterbacks are terrible. They still led the league. They were the best defense in football in points allowed per possession and EPA per play. They were an excellent defense. Already, their quarterbacks were so bad that even competent quarterback play is going to get them better. And I know the personnel does not look good right now, but remember, nobody was talking about Nico Collins and Tank Dell as being difference makers for C.J. Stroud. A great quarterback made them difference makers, whether it's Tyquan Thornton, whether it's Juju Smith-Schuster, whether it's any of the guys in the offense. I think
you're very high on Drake May, and you're very high New England, life without Bill Belichick, it sounds like, as well. Marcel Louis-Jacques, I turn to you. Which QB that's going to be drafted and the team is the best fit to make an impact?
Man, I hate disagreeing with Bill Barnwell, but that personnel, offensive personnel, is not there yet. This is a wide receiver-rich draft. They could improve, but right now, it doesn't look good. So I'm going to go with the chalk pick. Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Chicago Bears. He's got two 1,200-plus yard receivers in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. He's got a 1,000-yard rusher in DeAndre Swift. He's got a tight end in Cole Kmet who can catch passes. He's an adept pass catcher. They've got the draft capital to improve the offensive line. Like, this is a ready-made offense. If Caleb Williams is who everybody says he is, who Caleb Williams says he is, then he should be a success right away. Take him out the package. He's ready to go. No batteries needed.
David Dennis Jr.,
I agree. The biggest long-term on-the-field impact is Caleb Williams. But in terms of the most immediate impact on draft night, that's Michael Penix Jr. because something wacky is going to happen on draft night with this kid. There's a lot of movement, and the first big move seems to be somebody either moving up or moving back to get this guy. Will the Patriots move back to get him at 11 or 12? Will the Giants, you know, jump off out the window and get him early? Will the Falcons do the same? Will there be some trades? There's going to be somebody who is going to make a risky move or a shrewd move moving around on draft night to get this guy. And from what we've seen the last month or so and, you know, some of the prospects of him, it looks like it will pay off.
Frank Isola.
You know, with quarterbacks, it's never where you're drafted. It's who drafts you. So to Marcel's point, you know, it's one thing about Caleb Williams. He's going to the Bears. How's the Bears' history with quarterbacks? How's the Commanders' history with quarterbacks? I'll give you an example. Zach Wilson, too, and then Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs trade up. And who's his coach? Andy Reid. So a lot of times it's where you're drafted. I'll tell you what. I actually think the Giants.
Hold on a second. Would Zach Wilson have had the same success in Kansas City as Patrick Mahomes? If they were, I want to hear your answer.
I'm going to tell you what. Yeah. He wasn't going to have it in New York there. And how about Justin
that part
Fields
of the
in Chicago last year? I want to go to a place where I know a guy can work with a quarterback. That's why the quarterback of Michigan, maybe to the Giants.
You're not
the worst.
Say Zach Wilson in Kansas City would have the same.
No, but where you
all
go
right.
is
so,
important.
So you're looking further down the draft as well. Just a follow-up question here, because we do have some quarterbacks who are very well seasoned. I'll say it like that. The COVID year is part of that. They stayed in school. They had more eligibility. But we're looking at with Nix, with Daniels, and then with Penix Jr., three of the oldest quarterbacks in age that could come into the NFL. And historically, that has not been a great thing, Bill Barnwell. Brandon Whedon is an example of a first-round quarterback at 28. Joe Burrow is the other side of it at 23. You see that as any plus or minus in any direction?
You want to get younger players. They're going to age better. They're going to get into their second contracts at a younger age. But Brandon Whedon was older because he went to go play baseball,
That was just part of that chart I was showing you right there. But the fact that many of these more seasoned quarterbacks, if they would have boomed already, they would have been coming out and drafted earlier is something
someone said. This is going to happen more often because we're going to see quarterbacks transfer more often in the transfer portal era. We're going to see guys move around. Penix moved around. This is going to be a thing we see more often now as guys get used to NIL and get used to the
transfer. We started with quarterbacks. It's a quarterback draft. We go to wide receiver now. As Marcel said, it's a wide receiver draft. But now another chart, and this is from ESPN Stat King Paul Hembo. Wide receiver, the biggest swing and miss of all positions in the first round. Look at it right there. Marcel, so while I ask you for the one receiver and or team in need of a receiver you're tracking, I also ask you, is it worth the risk?
For the right players, yeah, it's worth the risk. If you can get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., if you can get a guy like Malik Nabers of Roma Dunze, yeah, absolutely. It's the guys after that top tier where that risk starts to come into play. But I'm going to cop out a little bit to the prompt here, and I'm going to say the receiver I'm watching the most is whoever falls to the Chargers or the Bills. Those are the best quarterback situations of any wide receiver needing team, especially the Chargers, who've had 2,000-yard receivers get out of there this offseason. I think it's an easy opportunity for 100 targets and 1,000 yards for whatever rookie enters that situation.
And that's at number five with the Chargers. David Dennis Jr., to you on the wide receiver or team fit, and is it worth the risk?
Romo Dunze, who looks like he may be going to Chicago, not very secretive that they did with Caleb Williams flying together and posting on social media about how much they love each other. 24 contested catches last year, led the nation in that. Him and Caleb Williams have the potential to be a fantastic duo, wide receiver quarterback duo. They already have DJ Moore, already have Keelan Allen, to an offense that can be really dynamic this
year. Bill Barnwell?
Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best wide receiver in this class. He's going to go to the Cardinals or the Chargers. That is an ideal landing spot, as Marcel alluded to. But yes, these guys are worth the risk because of the deal we saw today for Amon-Ra St. Brown. $30 million a year for Amon-Ra St. Brown, a good football player. But if you land a wide receiver in the top five and you hit, you're getting that guy for $8 million a year. If you get a guy in round two, you're signing a wide receiver for the next 4 years for $4 million a year or $3 million a year. If you're hitting on those guys and they turn into $25, $30 million a year players, yes, the risk is worth the reward.
But you saw the stats
even
there.
If it is
you
the risk
hit at a lower percentage than any other position. What does that mean?
It means that it's a higher, there's a higher risk profile. But again, what matters is not just the risk, but also the reward. If you hit 30% of the time and 30% of the time you land a $30 million a year player, that's a really valuable addition even at
and
that
Frank
rate.
Frank Isola.
I think the host is going to kill me for this one, but, you know, the once upon a time, the San Francisco 49ers hit with the 16th pick. That was Jerry Rice. Now the New York Jets with Johnny Lamb Jones at number two, not so much. I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. That guy's a big-time player. And speaking of the Jets, Aaron Rodgers got a lot of say in what goes on. There's been talk about the Jets moving up.
Oh, so you're flagging that. Well, that would be something. We've been horned. One more thing, Bill Barnwell, non-quarterback, non-wide receiver, an impact player you think can change a team's destiny immediately.
Leiatu Latu, edge rusher, only guy with double-digit sacks each of the last 2 years, fourth highest athleticism score in the combine on defense, a player who can be a transformative
and Marcel Louis-Jacques.
The right team.
I'm going Kenyon Mitchell, the quarterback out of Toledo. Good size, great speed, 25 pass breakups, led Division I football last year. I think he's an instant contributor for whoever Lux in the
fire cell next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
Let's talk NBA. Mavs 96, Clippers 93. Think about that score for a second compared to where scores were the start of the year or for Dallas for most of this year. How defensively challenged Dallas and Luka were, and the way they put it together last night. Look how fired Luka was after this shot, too. L.A. gets Kawhi back, but Dallas gets even. David Dennis Jr., what to buy, what to sell?
I'm selling the sustainability of Luka Doncic at the second coming of Scottie Pippen all of a sudden. The Clippers were 2-for-17 when he was guarding them. PG, Kawhi, and Harden were 6-for-19 when he was guarding. He played 46 minutes of incredible defense and offense. This is not good. You're asking him to do something that he's literally never done in the NBA and sustained it through this series. He did all of that. They only won by 3 points last night. I don't think he can keep this pace up for the rest of this series. They got to figure something else out.
Marcel, what you buying, what you selling?
I'm buying that it's a good win for Dallas last night while Kawhi tried to kind of get his legs back under him. But I'm selling the fact that the Clippers supporting cast is going to shoot 23% from the field. This whole series is going to be kind of a battle between the other guys, right? The Russell Westbrook, Terrence Manns, and then the P.J. Washingtons and Dante Exum. P.J. Washington showed up, so Dallas took the other guy win last night. But I think the Clippers get right moving
forward. Frank, you think this series is about the other guys? You think it's about the stars?
It's about Luka Doncic and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi hadn't played since March 31st, and usually when Kawhi plays in a playoff game, whether it's against Steph Curry in the finals, LeBron James in the finals, he has a way of being the best player on the court. That wasn't the case last night. That was Luka Doncic. David mentioned the defensive numbers. How about offensively? When he got double teamed, they were 6-for-14. He uses his head, his skill, his mouth. That is, he looked like the total package.
Well, then the follow-up to David's answer, do you think he can sustain that defense throughout this series, throughout this postseason?
I think he can because remember, this was a guy that helped us get to a conference finals before, and the winner of this is going to get the winner of Oklahoma City or New Orleans. That's a pathway to the conference.
Ooh, you're very high on Dallas, it sounds. Bill Barnwell, how about you?
I buy that this was a great performance from Luka Doncic. I also agree with David that I don't think this is sustainable. Okay. And I think the fact that Kawhi was, even though he wasn't the best player on the court, the fact that he was there for 35 minutes, able to put up 17 shots, was okay in defense. And we haven't heard any reports today that he has a swollen knee after playing 35 minutes is a positive sign for the Clippers in the big picture.
Say that again. The fact that he has a sore knee today after playing is a positive sign?
No, the fact that he does not, we didn't wake up to news that Kawhi's knee was a mess. The fact that he is seemingly okay from playing 35 minutes is a good sign for them moving forward.
Timberwolves dismantling the Suns last night, 105-93. Minnesota defensively just flips a switch and turns off the water. And then the Anthony Edwards-Kevin Durant matchup is getting more torch snatchy by the second. Frank, what's the number one reason that explains how the T-Wolves are up 2-0 on Phoenix?
It's all about defense. 31-2 in points off of turnovers. That was the advantage for Minnesota. And here's a number. Maybe the best perimeter defender in the league, Jaden McDaniels, he had 10 field goals. Kevin Durant, 6. Devin Booker, 6. Jaden McDaniels was a star on both ends of the court. One of the most underrated players in the league.
Bill Barnwell.
The story is resilience for the Timberwolves. This is a team that has found new ways to win after having to be without Karl-Anthony Towns over the last couple months of the regular season. Last night, Cat was in foul trouble, only played 24 minutes. Anthony Edwards had a good game, but he did not take over this game. As Frank said, it was J.D. McDaniels on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball who was the focal point. They had to find ways to win without Cat, and Anthony Edwards taking over was one of those ways, but they have
but
other
ways.
But
haven't they been good defensively all year? Aren't they top of the defensive rankings all season long? David Dennis Jr.
But the offense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have been great defensively all season long, but this is a Timberwolves team that we have seen fold in these situations over the last couple years. What we're watching is a Timberwolves team that is growing up. Cat was in foul trouble. They had some bad calls there, but they still came together and shut down that big three. 18 for 45 for that game with 12 turnovers, a minus 56 between those big three guys. And for Kevin Durant, he was contested on every single shot he took last night. They are stifling defensively, and they look like a team that is maturing way faster than they looked even a couple weeks ago.
It starts at the top. Anthony Edwards has zero fear in his heart of this Phoenix Suns team, bordering on disrespect. And I love to see it out of an emerging superstar right now. That level of bravado, it permeates through the entire team. That's why they're all in their shirt every single possession. Going off of David's point, Kevin Durant, three of his 29 field goal attempts in this series have been open. Everything else has been contested. They are not scared of the Suns. They barely respect the Suns, and they might damn well sweep the Suns in this series.
David Dennis Jr., Joe Barnwell, thank you for your time. Enjoy the draft. Marcel Louis-Jacques, Frank Isola, that's our showdown next. Yo.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Showdown on ice, Panthers over the Lightning in overtime. A huge result to give them a 2-0 series lead. Carter Verhaeghe scored the overtime game winner, and that got him the number one star. But Marcel, what was really bigger, Verhaeghe's goal or the Sergei Bobrovsky save?
Oh my goodness, for social media purposes and fan purposes, playoff Bob save. It was an all-galaxy move. But Carter Verhaeghe deserves the attention that he's getting. He deserves first start. His fifth playoff overtime goal, third most all-time in NHL history.
That right, Frank Isola.
Yeah, I'm going with Verhaeghe as well, because think about this. That's 11 straight overtime wins for the Panthers. And you mentioned third all-time. That's behind Joe Sakic and Maurice the Rocket Richard. Pretty impressive company.
Mm-hmm. Question, do you have overtime if Bobrovsky doesn't make that save? Just throwing it out there.
In the second period.
It was incredible. I know, but it was just
incredible. I guess we'll never know.
I loved it. We'll move on. That's the good from the ice. Here's the not so good. Connor Hellebuyck. Vezina favorite. Oof on this goal. And 10 goals allowed in two games. So Winnipeg is split here with Colorado. And then Washington, Alex Ovechkin's final second puck in front of the net. Didn't even get a shot off. It was a tough play. It's an oof, though. He has just one shot, no points in two games. Frank, which is the bigger problem, Hellebuyck for the Jets or Ovi for the Caps?
Well, it's certainly Ovechkin, because he's too good of a player, and the Caps have no chance if he's not playing well. They're lucky to be in the playoffs. The Rangers are too good. It's just a guy in the declining years of his career.
Marcel?
I'm going to go with Hellebuyck. That was his fifth time allowing five or more goals in a single game. The last time he did it, March 23rd, Winnipeg went 0-3-1 in the next four games. It's a concern.
Absolutely. I'm totally with Hellebuyck struggles in the postseason. Ugh, not great for Winnipeg. Great for Marcel Louis-Jacques. Nope, let's go one more showdown. Pacers 125, Bucks 108. Indy running away in the second half, evening the series with the Bucks. Marcel, take away from game two.
Pascal Siakam is feasting without Giannis on the court. Milwaukee misses that length and tenacity on defense. Until he gets back, Indy is the better
and
team.
And Frank, you need about 5 points. Seven.
Giannis has missed seven, hasn't played seven playoff games now for the Milwaukee Bucks. When he doesn't play, they're 2-2. He's always hurt. They got no chance without Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's missed seven games. When he doesn't play, they're 2-2. I don't even think that's that.
Four games.
Go ahead, Marcel Lewis-Jacques.
It's here at long last, right? After months of speculation and negotiating and rumors, it's finally draft weekend. But NFL fans, I gotta remind you, any rumor you hear nowadays is done with specific intent. Whether it's an agent or a team trying to boost or tank stock, just everything you hear, approach it with a little bit of skepticism. That being said, be excited because I'm sure that that guy your team takes is a future Hall of Famer.
Approach it with a little bit of skepticism. That's how I treated David, Frank, and Bill today. A little skepticism. Marcel, congrats.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.